Let's go down to the desert and bring in one of the leading national baseball writers. He writes for Forbes.com, and that is our good friend Barry Bloom. Barry, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Marty. How are you?
Good, very good. Glad to have you on today. And this wild card race, and I had Joe Sheehan on earlier, and we talked about September stories, and it looks like everything is so cut and dried, but we know what makes baseball great is that run to the finish until you're absolutely eliminated. And this National League wild card has got all the makings of it because the Cubs in Washington have got issues. And here come a few teams only three, four games behind in the loss column. This is truly going to be interesting over the next 3 weeks.
Well, here's the thing. Historically, recent history for you, 2 years ago, the Dodgers were leading the Diamondbacks by something like 20 games at the end of August. Then the Dodgers went into the tank and lost, 15 out of 16 because of injuries and a number of other things. Now the Diamondbacks win like 13 in a row, and they cut the Dodger lead to 8 games, which was, I think, the closest it got. But they were never going to win the division title. But what it did was it secured the home field advantage in the wild card game, which they won over the Rockies, and then they got ousted by the Dodgers in 3 games in the first round. And here we are again. The Diamondbacks have won 12 out of 13. This is even after trading Zach Greinke, because guys like Marte and Escobar are just having incredible out-of-their-head career seasons. And they're just getting enough pitching, and Archie Bradley stepped in as the closer when they really needed it. And they've filled some holes, and they're playing really well. And the Dodgers are, just kind of like trading to the end. So they've cut some ground on the Dodger lead, but they're not going to beat the Dodgers, who are also up again by about 20 games when this all started. But the Diamondbacks have played themselves in the position now where they're, like 3.5 games behind Washington for the first wild card spot and 1.5 games behind the Cubs for the second. And they catapulted over the Phillies and a couple of other teams. And now, if you look at their schedule, they have to play only 2 teams with winning records the rest of the year. So if they beat up on these bad teams, which is what they're doing, they're going to have a clear path to not only getting into the wild card, but winning the wild card and hosting the game.
Boy, this is what September's all about, honestly. You can make the argument for Arizona and Milwaukee. I still, their pitching, I just don't get it why they didn't do better with their pitching. But the Mets, probably it's the longest shot on the board. But the Phillies, they're not going away. There's a good chance that they're 68 losses. The Cubs with 65, and you've got Arizona, Milwaukee, Philly, and New York with 67 to 69 losses. And with 20 games to go, the vice tightens as you get to 9 to go and you're up by 3. Well, you got to start going day by day by day, and that's when it gets interesting for me. So that's my thought on the wild card.
Well, and just as an addendum to what we were talking about before, the Mets played the Diamondbacks 4 games at Citi Field this week. So for their season, with the Mets being behind the Diamondbacks, and as well as the Diamondbacks are playing, that's their season in a capsule. They have to do very well against the Diamondbacks this week. And I'm talking about not even a split is going to matter. They have to win 3 out of the 4 and sweep the series. And, obviously you have to play the games. And as you pointed out, you never know with baseball this time of year. But the way the Diamondbacks are playing, I just don't see them getting swept right now by the Mets or just ill-managed by Mickey Callaway. And I think, he continues to lose his job at the end of the season because he's screwed up so many games this year. But I think it creates a great drama because you have, Joe Maddon's tenure with the Cubs on the line. If they don't make the playoffs, he's certainly gone. You have Billy, you pointed them out. Now, put into a capsule that last year with a very young team, the Phillies were 2.5 games behind Atlanta in the division at this point. And then they collapsed. This year, they went out and got Harper, Real Muto, Segura. You know, added the list. It was $55 million onto the payroll this year. And they are 15 games behind Atlanta, and they're dying now. They collapsed. They're not going to win the wild card this year. You know, they're not going to the wild card this year. And Gabe Kapler, his butt is on the frying pan. So, I mean, well, all these guys are going to wind up losing their jobs.
We will see. That's why we play the games. But, you know, logically what you say is right. Phillies just have never gotten out of their own way. And the Mets have had trouble 13-17 in the last 30. So you look for hot teams right now, and Arizona is the one really hot team, although the Brewers are starting to sort of come alive a little bit. So we'll see. But I love it. I love the fact that we could, you know, analyze it. And as the games dwindle down, that's the big thing for me. When you have so many left and you're so many behind, then it's like a playoff game. Then you got to go out and win that day. And that's what I like. All right. One other thing I want to talk to you about. You wrote a great column in Forbes.com this week about intentional walks. And I did not realize Houston has gone the whole season without giving up an intentional walk. The Dodgers did too Friday night. They both backfired. Is the intentional walk a thing of the past? What's going on with that?
Well, it's another casualty of analytics, you know, where basically the percentages are highly in favor of getting rid of it, because every time you put an extra man on base, you're giving teams another run, and statistically, the opposition teams score at a higher rate when you've given three bases to other batters on the other team. And if you look back on it, I think I pointed out in the column that the whole strategy of walking Bonds during the period of time when he was going after Aaron's home run record, you know, it backfired, because 30% of the time the Giants would score if Bonds was walked. And I remember having this discussion with, you know, Bob Melvin and Jim Tracy and managers who were doing this, Bruce Bochy, who was with the Padres at the time. And, you know, I'd say, look, Bonds is not going to hit 100 homers. So, I mean, the more you walk him, the worse it is. Plus, you're taking the bat out of the hands of the best guy in baseball. And people want to see him play. They're paying tickets to watch him hit, not to watch him walk down to first base for no reason at all, because it's a failed strategy anyway. So I think it's finally come down to the place where, just like the sacrifice bunt, the stolen base, you know, outs and base runners are the most important stats in an inning. And whether you're analytically driven or not, Bill James wrote this, you know, 40 years ago. The three most important statistics in baseball is outs, runs, and how you use those outs to score those runs. Because the most important thing is winning the game. And so you only have three outs to utilize to be able to score enough runs to win a game. So from that point, then you have a whole genre of analytics that's grown out of it, you know, which you've gotten a little crazy about how you utilize those outs to win games. But the bottom line is, one of them now is just don't give a team an extra base runner so that it gives them an extra chance to score a run. Okay. I think it's pretty simple.
All right. Well, let's see. Look, you walk the eight hitter to get to the pitcher in the National League. I can't see where the percentage can be that bad for you. But we'll pick it up at another time. But everything good?
I think that's it. You know, I mean, I think that's why, you know, the teams like the Cubs and the Padres, which are at the bottom of the National League, they say, you know, that you're going to wind up using that a little bit more because of the pitcher batting. And if and when they take the pitcher out of the hitting spot in the National League, which I think is coming in the next collective bargaining agreement, then that reason for doing it will disappear in the National League too.
Maybe the intentional walk will disappear with it. Who knows? We'll see.
Good.
Boy, interesting stuff. A good time of year for baseball. I appreciate you being on, as always, Forbes.com. And look forward. What are you going to write about this week? Do you have anything in mind?
Yeah, maybe more, you know, kind of personal stuff. I don't know if you saw it or not, but you know, the former Dodger general manager Ned Colletti was signed by Don Wilson of the San Jose Sharks to be a scout for the Sharks.
Yes, I saw that. I wasn't sure if it was a player or a scout, but
yeah, I think he's too old to play.
All right, but, that, you know, I know he's a big hockey fan.
Right, he's a second love this hockey, and you know, I'm planning on talking to him, and you know, I've got a few other things on the on the frying pan. We'll see what evolves as the week goes. You never know.
All right, Barry, thanks so much. Have a great Sunday.
Okay, Marty, thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Barry Bloom, Forbes.com.